My name is Marlon. Welcome to my podcast. You can find a blog post that accompanies this message on prmarlon.com. That's prmarlon.com. May God bless you.
Because of the time constraints, I'm going to give you some good news. All my notes are available online, so I'm going to feel free to go at a faster pace. And if you want to go deeper, you can check out my blog, prmarlon.com. I have all the sermon notes there and links and all these things. I'd like to invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, here we are. We've been looking forward to this day. And as we worship you, as we thank you for all the wonderful things, as we realize, Lord, that there are struggles in life, and some who are here this morning, Lord, had a rough week. Some are hurting, or they have loved ones who are hurting. Lord, we just turn to you and ask that you would please speak to us through your word, that you would guide us, that you would bless us for your honor and glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you have your Bibles and you're open to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. We just had that for the scripture reading. And I gave a lot of thought. What are we going to talk about our very first day back into this church? Why are we here? Why did we invest so much time and effort and energy and blood, sweat and tears and money into renovating this place? Why are we here gathered this morning? And I think that the answer is in this text. And in short, the reason is that the harvest is truly plentiful. That means as we look around in our community, there are people hurting. There are people in need of only what God can supply. They need Jesus and they don't even know it. And that's why we come together. That's why this place exists. This place exists so that God can send people who are praying to him and saying, Lord, reveal yourself. Lord, I want to know you. I need you. I'm not even sure if you exist. And God can take those people and send them here. And then it is our job, when we come together, it is our job to reflect Jesus to those who are coming in. We don't come in here to have things done in the way that we like them to do. We come in here in order to serve others who are seeking God. We come here for service. And I praise the Lord that so many people that were mentioned, I know that there's even more, you know, came and sacrificed and gave. And I know that the final product is not what any one person wanted. It's what a lot of people coming together agreed to. This is the best that we have to offer God. So we come here with this idea of service. And I'm going to give the appeal ahead of time and then we'll repeat it at the end of the sermon. You know, this week we're going to be coming back here every night, starting tomorrow night at 6:30. We're going to spend time in Bible study. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to spend time in prayer. Because the text says, when Jesus looks at the crowd and he's moved with compassion for them, he says, the harvest indeed is plentiful, truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So Lord, what do we do? Jesus tells us what to do. He says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. I think it's always a good idea to do what Jesus calls us to do, right? So every evening this week, we're going to be coming together and praying to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Now, I love the Greek word used here is ekbalo. It's this weird word and it means to eject, to send out, to push, to throw out. So just a word of warning. You might feel more than a gentle nudge. But it's good. Because turns out that's what we were born for. That's what we were saved to do, to bless others, to minister, to help those who are hurting. That's why we come together. This is the Cloverdale church family, and I've been learning from you. This is a welcoming church. This is a loving church. This is a church that shows up and gets work done. This is a church that is a light in this community, and that's why we come together. Because God has a mission for us. God has called us. Isn't this exciting that Jesus calls us to be co-laborers with him in the work of saving the world? He did all the heavy lifting. He's the one who died. He's the one that offers it freely. He just needs us to let people know that there is salvation in Jesus. Just to be so excited about this that we want to share with others, that we live it out. And here's the exciting thing. As Jesus sends us out into the field to be co-laborers with him, he takes it upon himself. He makes full provision for this work. He's the one that gives us the success. He just needs our willingness. He just needs our availability. And then he will add everything else for us to be co-laborers with him, to bring salvation to those who are hurting. And all you have to do is turn on the news. All you have to do is log on to social media, and you will immediately become aware of people who are hurting. Some of them are angry at a God they don't even know. They're searching, they're hurting, and God wants to use you to reach them. Many of them don't want to talk to a pastor. They don't care what the pastor says. They first want to see if Jesus is real in your life. And that's why we come together, right? To learn, to grow, to challenge each other, and to go out there to serve. That's the reason why we come together. That's the reason why we do all of this. And you know, it's interesting that we don't do it in our own power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 tells us the secret Jesus told his disciples. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when what happens? The Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. Or you'll be witnesses to me where? In Jerusalem? Where else? In Judea? And finally, to the ends of the earth. Good news. The mission starts in your home. It starts with you spending time with God. It starts with family worship. For those of you who are married, who have kids, or when you have the grandkids at home, it's a great opportunity. It starts at home. And then it expands to our town. And then it goes all over the world. But it begins where we are. Jesus called his disciples to begin the mission right there where they had crucified Jesus. Doesn't seem like the best place to begin. But imagine this. Think about this. God is inviting those who killed his son to repent and receive salvation. And from there, it expands everywhere else. This is our training ground. It begins in our home. We learn by ministering to those closest to us. And as God equips us through that, we expand and we go further. But it can only happen as we receive the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, when we come together Sunday night at 6:30, we're going to be praying for the Holy Spirit, for us to receive him. We're going to be praying for God to send out the laborers, and that includes us as well. It begins with prayer. God has to do this work in us and through us. And who are we supposed to go to? I love this idea of the whole earth. Because we seem to get more and more divided as time goes by. We keep finding new ways to divide ourselves and to be us versus them. And this person is not like me, so I'm going to unfriend them on social media. I'm going to block them on my phone. And we keep dividing and dividing and dividing. But look at, I love these words I found in the book, The Desire of Ages, page 823. I have a link to this on my blog. There's the whole chapter there. It says, Christ tears away the wall of partition, the dividing prejudice of nationality, and teaches a love for all the human family. There's another part to this. He lifts men and women from the narrow circle which their selfishness prescribes. He abolishes all territorial lines and artificial distinctions of society. He makes no difference between neighbors and strangers, friends and enemies. He teaches us to look upon every needy soul as a brother in the world as our field. Let me tell you, this place is a place where everyone is welcome. This is the place where we want our enemies to be. Everybody needs Jesus. The people who you struggle the most to love need to be in here. People who look different than you, people who smell different than you, people who have a different accent than you do, people who have different political affiliation than you do, they need to be here because we all need Jesus. And please don't let anything get in the way of revealing Jesus to those who are hurting. Let's set aside all the differences. Let us unite in Jesus, being aware of different needs, aware of different walks, aware of different struggles, but yet welcoming everyone because we all need salvation. We all need Jesus. And let me tell you, you get to know Jesus better as you share him with others. You know what's great to have as our personal mission, besides what your spiritual gifts are and besides what God calls you to do? There is one thing we can all do every time we come here, and that is to smile and to be friendly and to want to know someone who's sitting next to you. You can do that, right? That's not too difficult. Someone sits next to you. Hi, I'm Marlon. I'm so happy that you're here with us. Because that way, you're reflecting Jesus. They will think about God differently because you chose to smile and to say hi to someone that maybe you don't know that well. And maybe you've seen them around for years but never really talked. It's okay. Every Sabbath, every time we come together, regardless of the day, is an opportunity to be friendly to someone you don't know what they're going through. And maybe your kindness, your willingness to listen to their life story, to offer to pray with them, can make all the difference in someone's life. You never know when someone's walking here for the first time. You never know when someone is walking here for the last time. Take that opportunity to minister to someone who's sitting right there next to you. Before you go all over the world, let's start right here. This is the training ground. This is where we learn. This is where God equips us to reflect Jesus. My friends, there is this idea, as soon as, there we go, that we have in the Bible. That's very unique. You see, the Bible is not like other world religions. It's not this idea that you should just be nice. That's in there too. But really, the story of the Bible is the story of divine love being stirred to unfathomable depths for the sake of humanity. It means God actively seeking us because he wants to save us. And it's interesting that angels marvel to behold in the recipients of such a great love, mere surface gratitude. That means God gives his son for us. Jesus lives, walks amongst us, teaches, dies for us, goes back to heaven, promises to come back, offers us everything we could ever need to live and to have life more abundantly. And maybe if we feel like it, we'll volunteer or sing, or praise, or help someone in need. We almost act like it's God's job to be kind to us and to love us. And sometimes we sit in judgment. Well, God should have done this that way or this way. And the angels are watching from heaven going, I don't believe this. But perhaps it's because for whatever reason and distractions and things are happening in the world, we've lost sight of Jesus. And hopefully every time we come together, and even on our own, as we turn to the Bible, we get to see Jesus again. We fall in love with him again. And we begin to show that appreciation. And it just overflows. But it can only happen naturally as we fall in love with Jesus. And you're only going to fall in love with Jesus as you're revealed to him. As he's revealed to you through the Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, if you don't know how to read, or if you've never read the Bible, it's going to be through a Christian friend. A Christian co-worker, a follower of Jesus that happens to be around and is reflecting that love. This is how we learn about God. You see, angels and heavenly beings marvel at humanity's shallow appreciation of the love of God. Heaven stands indignant at the neglect shown to the souls of men, women, and children. I read this illustration once. You know, how would Jesus regard the way that sometimes people who claim to be his followers treat others? Read this with me. Follow along and let me know what your thoughts are. How would a father and a mother feel if they knew that their child, lost in the cold and the snow, had been passed by and left to perish by those who might have saved her? Now think, Jesus, feeling this way about me, when I neglect to show love to someone who's hurting. When someone shows up in this church or in your life and they've made bad choices, and they know. They struggled with sin and they're aware of it. And instead of extending an arm and love and grace and offering to the best of your abilities what you can to help, you just contribute to them feeling even worse and encourage them to go and fix their lives. This is how Jesus regards it. As if you saw a child in the snow and you could have done something, but you just continue to walk. Where are her parents? I wonder how she got out here. Really, none of that matters. What matters is right now, I'm in a position to help. When someone shows up here, let us be in the position to help. We don't have to know how to solve all their problems. I don't know how to solve anybody's problems, essentially. You know what I do? I say, hey, Jesus has solved my problems. Let me point you to him. Let me introduce you to my friend. He's the one that gets me through when I'm struggling, when I'm down, when I lose hope. I look to Jesus. And that's all you have to do. Just point them to Jesus. Let Jesus do the saving. You just be an instrument in his hands. Just let the love of God move in you and reflect and show itself as you turn to others. You know, as a Seventh-day Adventist, I highlight that Jesus is coming soon. It's a message that my grandfather preached until he retired. He still preaches every now and then. It's a message that my father continues to preach. And you know, it's interesting because I've heard recently people say maybe we shouldn't keep saying that Jesus is coming soon. Because, I mean, he hasn't come yet. And sometimes people make some crazy decisions because Jesus is coming soon. But let me tell you what has been my experience. When I lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming soon, I tend to focus on myself, my career, my things, my house, my car, my bank account, my achievements. But when I look at Jesus is coming soon, suddenly my focus shifts to people, relationships, and acts of service. I don't know what's happened with you recently in these last 2 years. I've had to deal with death way more often than anybody should. It seems like it's been just more prevalent. More people have been dying. And maybe you have attended more funerals or have just been aware of reflecting the loss of loved ones more often than before. And I wonder if you had this experience. It's happened with me. People don't come to me when they're talking about their loved one and tell me how many degrees they had. What was their net worth when they passed away? What car they drove or how big their house was? When loved ones come to me to talk about the life of the loved one that just passed away, you know what they talk about? Relationships, acts of service, how they volunteer and help and give of themselves for the benefit of others. Those are the things that are really important in life. So in a way, this Advent message that Jesus is coming soon, that Jesus is coming again, it reminds us that the point of life is service, ministry. It's helping others. And you don't have to have it all together. You just have to love Jesus. And that's where it begins. And you're going to find as you do it, God equips you to do it better. But you have to start where you are. You have to start in your house. Young people, maybe some of you will be the ones teaching your parents what it means to love Jesus. Because they've been stuck on these forms and cold religious and they just lost that contact. Maybe it'll start with you, a reformation in your home. Grandparents, maybe it'll take you to help your grandchildren and your children find out what it's like to love Jesus. It begins with us. As we look forward to Jesus coming soon, it shouldn't strike fear in our hearts. It should just order our priorities in the right direction. I have more notes on this. They're on my blog. I'm just going to give you one highlight for this. The idea that you don't know the day or the hour and you're supposed to watch. It's not supposed to scare you. It's supposed to remind you what you were born to do. It's not, oh, do this and you will be saved. No, it's Jesus died for you. He saved you. He loves you. Would you please tell someone that there is a God who loves them and that it's free and it's available. Remember, the harvest is plentiful. People are searching for this. The only problem is that the laborers are few. And we solve this problem by praying to the Lord of the harvest to send out, to throw out, to eject the laborers. We come together to learn, to be encouraged, to be equipped, and we go out to serve, to make a difference, to be a light shining in our community. So my friends, I close with this very practical appeal. What will you do this week to alleviate the suffering of someone? And it doesn't have to be a stranger. Many of us know of people who are hurting. Start praying. Lord, what can I do? Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a visit. Maybe it's some food. You figure it out between you and God. Just make yourself available. Lord, I want to help. The laborers are few. I'm willing to be a laborer. What can I do? Ask God and He will guide you. What can you do this week to reveal to someone the love of Jesus? What is it going to look like? Figure out with God. Now on top of that, especially for those who live here in this area, I want to invite you to join me here tomorrow night at 6:30. We're going to do exactly what Jesus called us to do. We're going to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. We're going to be doing that every night. Let me tell you, if you haven't experienced that, and I know it's a big commitment, come whatever night you can, but if you can come every night, it will transform your life. I can promise you that, because that's in the Bible. God says it. When we pray for the Holy Spirit, He comes, He transforms us, He equips us. God's going to throw us out into the mission field, and it might be your own family, your workplace, your school, this church. It starts with us showing up for prayer, us showing up for God, saying, I am willing. Lord, if you just use me, I am willing. Because ultimately, God is the one who provides. I'd like to invite the praise team, I guess, to come up as we're going to do our closing song. And I want you to reflect on this. Prayerfully consider the mission field and what God is calling you to do. And start making plans to be here with us tomorrow night at 6:30.